you, church family, and our friends as well that have connected in this worship service. Thank you for all of you that I could see you on the little screens. Those of you that have connected through Zoom, but also we want to wave to those as well that are over in YouTube. It's good to see you, and we're delighted and happy and blessed, I will say, that you are with us. If everything goes accordingly to God's will, next Saturday, some of you will have that opportunity to come back to church. With this, I want to be clear. I want to be in a way that everybody has a great understanding about, you know, what's going to happen next Saturday. Of course, we are allowed to reopen again, not with the full capacity or with the full, you know, services or activities that we do, but we will have at least 25% of the people that is willing to come. So that means the way we set up that the sanctuary there, and we did this, if you remember, some of you were able to come to church in the month of October, November, in the middle of December before it closed again. Some of you had already experienced that. You already know what to do in terms of coming to church. We could have at least 40 plus people in there the way we set it up, so that there is social distancing. I know there is a few questions that some just texted me in terms of how about people that live in the same household. Yes, you could sit. You know, if we'll have people that will guide you when you're there. If you're a family of four or five and you live in the same household, you could sit, you know, together in one pew. That won't be a problem. So everything is set up, so you don't have to worry in terms of what's going to happen over there. But one thing that I wanna be clear is that if you don't feel confidence of coming, you're not obligated. Okay, you're not obligated to come. No one is going to judge you. All right, just because you're not confident to come yet. We have a reality, you know, about this virus. It's there. And we cannot hide from that. So if you're not confident, feel free to stay home. Okay. And if you feel kind of like sick or anything in that regard, stay home. Okay. We don't want to have, you know, like our staff or people that are going to be helping us over there tell you that you have to come back home. So you make your own decisions and judgment as well. Okay, and make sure the three guidelines we have been texting, we have been announcing that, and some of you have even called, and we have already mentioned that to you. You know, the three rules or the three guidelines that you need to follow once you come to church. You need to fill up the form. You need to have your temperature check. We have people that will be doing that. Also, make sure you bring a mask. You wear a mask all the time while you're in services. And if you don't bring one, okay, we'll give you one. The church will have some. And also, social distancing. Okay, we will like for people that actually to come to enjoy the service, to be blessed by the word of God and the study of the lesson. We will have like Sabbath school, you know, the same hours of services we will have. For those people that are not going to be able to come to church, don't think that you will miss out. No, you won't, because you still could connect through this Zoom, okay? You will still be able to participate, you know, you'll be blessed with the full services that we will have. Even if you're going to participate in Sabbath school or even in worship service, you still could do it from home. Right. Everything that is going to happen over there at church will be happening in Zoom. Everything that will happen in Zoom, it will be happening live over there as well. So simultaneously. So how can I say that, nothing that you will miss out if you don't go or if you stay home. So everything will be accordingly as it has been planned. So, and I thank in advance for all of those that are helping, you know, to make this possible. Sam is one of them. I know it's extra work. His team needs to work a little bit double, I will say, because cameras over there to make sure that everybody at home will be able to see everything that is happening over there as well. And the staff that we'll have that are committed and volunteering to be there early morning to be checking on people when they come in. And please, don't feel bad. And I want to be, you know, honest about this. Don't feel bad if someone approach you once you at church and they tell you, you know, hey, will you please, you know, wear your mask or practice social distance, especially if you need to go to the bathroom. And things like that. Don't feel bad. You know, we love, like the Bible said, we should love, you know, our neighbors as we love ourselves. And doing our part is actually loving the neighbors as well. So we want to make sure that everybody's going to be safe, in other words. So don't feel bad if anybody approach you and come to you and ask you about those following the guidelines. And if it happens, we don't know, we didn't have that experience, you know, last time that we reopened, that if we have already, you know, the number, you know, the capacity, 25% capacity, if we already reach that number, we'll have to close the doors. Okay, we'll have to close the doors and we'll have to tell people, unfortunately, you know, we already max out our capacity. So maybe you should go back, rush back home or something like that, you know, to connect over Zoom or YouTube. So please, I just want to make sure that don't feel bad. We're trying our very best to follow everything so the way everybody's safe. And hopefully very soon, you know, like we could open our church in full capacity all over again. We don't have to deal with this anymore. So keep praying. Keep praying for that to happen. Okay. And I want to thank also all the teams that are, you know, volunteering, you know, to clean up, to keep, you know, the facility safe and also clean at the same time, presentable. So praise the Lord for all of you that are doing all this. Okay. Well, enough of that, right? So I know what you want is to hear the word of God. How many of you, I will ask, how many of you are tired of living the way you're living right now? How many of you are tired? I mean, it's been what, a year now that, believe it or not, there are people that actually, when this whole, you know, pandemic outbreak and happens last year, they just closed their doors and they haven't come out since then, believe it or not. So how do you think those people feel? Do you think they're afraid?
Depressed.
Do they have fears? I don't know if you're one of them. I have no idea if you're one of them. As a matter of fact, it hasn't been a while that I have visited you know, some of you or come to a house to visit someone. I don't know if you have. So this experience that we had passed through or we continue actually, you know, to experience in this, it hasn't been that easy. It hasn't been that easy for many of us. So despite of all the things, you know, that are happening around, you know, our daily routines and we have to also deal, you know, with this pandemic. So there are, and I will say, giants that we need to face in our life. How many of you have faced a giant in your life? Well, today, I want to remind us, and when I say remind us, is because I want to remind myself that as long as we continue living on this world, we are going to encounter giants, okay, in our life. Some of us, maybe daily, we have to face our giants. But we know that we are not alone. How many of you say amen to that? We are not alone. You're not by yourself. As a matter of fact, even with this COVID-19, you know, a lot of people said, oh, I'm alone. You know, I have to isolate myself. I cannot talk to people. I cannot reach out to people. I cannot hug people. I cannot, you know, say hello to people. But believe it or not, God is there with you, right? And God has been there with us all the way. There is a story that everybody knows. Everybody knows, especially, you know, those, I'm like third generation Seventh Day Adventist. I grew up with this kind of stories. As a matter of fact, you know, it is the story of David and Goliath. How many of you know that story? If you don't know, I will, in a way, encourage you to go, you know, back to the Bible and, you know, go to the book of Samuel, the first book of Samuel, especially in chapter 17. So we all know the story of David and Goliath. I'm pretty sure. You know, the story about how God used a brave young man full of faith and courage, right, to face a giant, to defend the people of God, to defend the people of Israel. With a sling, right, in hand. How many of you have used some of that? any point in your childhood? Or, I don't know, have you ever used a sling? But the story tells us, right, that with the sling in his hand, he chose five smooth stones from a brook and shattered as he ran right into a valley of certain death, as that Bible tells us. God guided his actions. How we know that? Well, you know, even the stone, right, that was thrown right on the forehead of the giant, who rapidly, you know, the Bible mentions, you know, fell down, defeated to the ground. But with this, David is not the only person to come up against, you know, a giant. All believers, all Christians, all faithful people, we will find ourselves face to face with big challenges in our life. How many times have you come face to face with your own giant? Many times. That giant actually strives for the bedside position, right? Hoping to be the first voice you hear every time you wake up in the morning. Have you ever experienced something like that? You know, that giant covets, you know, your waking thoughts. He awakes you and with words of worry, stirs you with thoughts of stress. How many of you have experienced that kind of giant in the morning? My question to you is, because I don't know, I know my giants. I know the giants that I have to defeat. But what is the giant you are facing at this very moment? Is it depression? Is it an addiction? Is it COVID-19? Isolation? A crisis? A sickness, unemployment. It could be that your giant that you need to face is your spouse, your children, your friend, even your neighbor. It could be your classmate, your boss, your coworker. And could it be that that giant that you have to defeat could be yourself as well? See, mostly for many of us, the biggest giants that we have to face in our life is fear. Fear. and an expectation that you are about to be defeated. That's mostly, you know, the biggest giants that we have to face in our life. And if you go to the, you know, to the book of the first book of Samuel, specific, you know, in chapter 17, verse 1, we notice that the Philistine had invaded the Israelite territory. And the word specific in verse 1 says that which belongs to Judah. See, Goliath stood and defied the army of God. And the army of God are huddled together, frightened. and they did not even attempt to do anything to even eliminate or try to defeat, you know, this giant. Believe it or not, my brothers and sisters, the same way Satan stands before us today, most likely for many of us this very moment as I'm preaching the word of God. And he tries to defy God and his and even God's church. And the people are, for the most part, huddled down, you know, and frightened to do anything about anything to be able to defeat this giant. Also, the people who are commissioned by God look on helpless. See, Goliath stands waving, I will say, you know, his spear high in the air, challenging someone to defend the name of God. Could that be happening at this very moment? My beloved, it is important for us to understand today that we don't fight with giants, meaning human giant like Goliath. See, Paul puts it this way in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Look at what it says. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You see, the enemy is all around us today. We are faced with giants from every angle. But the good news is that we have been given weapons that will defeat any giant and that stands before us, but we must use those weapons that we are given. So in 1 Samuel, specific in chapter 17, verse 40, it says that then he took his staff in his hand and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, talking about David, and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistines. So this tells us that David reached down into the brook, right? And he reached down and picked up 5 smooth stones. And then after he has done that, the Bible tells us that he proceed to fight the giant. So today you and I, we need to do the same. We need to reach down into the brook and pick up those 5 stones to be able to defeat those giants that defies our lives. So I want to spend a little time with you this morning and see what those 5 stones are all about. What are those 5 stones that you and I need? What are those and what those stones can do to help us to defeat those giants that we face in our daily routine? Well, let's not waste much time and let's go to the first stone that we need. And the first stone that we need is actually a heart full of faith. How many of you have that kind of heart? How many of you have kind of that kind of heart. A heart full of faith. See, the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 17:32, then David said to Saul, let not man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. So what this tells us? This tells us that naturally, you know, there were people at that very moment that were faithless, or people that didn't have that kind of faith that is needed to be able to defeat these kind of giants. King Saul, you know, who should have been the one to face Goliath, and even David's brother, you know, at that moment didn't have that kind of faith that was needed, not even the army of the Israelites. But we know that there was one that had that kind of faith. We know one that had a heart full of faith, and that was David. The book of Psalms tells us in chapter 23, and I'm pretty sure all of you know that one. All of you, a lot of you even know it by memory, right? What does Psalm 23, specific verse 1 through 6 tells us? The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, now we see that David had that heart of full faith that it was needed to be able to defeat this giant. My question is, how about you? Do you have a heart full of faith to confront your giants? Ephesians chapter 6:16 tells us, in all circumstances, take up the shield of what? Of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. So what do we need, my beloved, to be able to face this giant? We need the shield of faith. We need a heart of faith. That's very important. See, that is the first stone that actually David reached down to the brook to pick up. That was the first stone. Now, the second stone needed to defeat our giants is the Word of God. How many of you have that one? How many of you have the Word of God? And I don't mean just asking you if you do have a Bible with you. No, because having a Bible will do nothing unless what? Unless you have what that Bible has inside and you have it in your hearts. That's what will make the difference. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, 45, the Bible tells us, then David said to the Philistines, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied. How many of you, when you are faced with those giants that you have, when you are confronted with crisis, how many of you seek the Word of God? Because where do you think or where do you suppose David got a heart full of faith? Where was he was able to obtain, you know, that first stone, that heart of faith? Well, Romans chapter 10, verse 17 tells us, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of what? Of God. See, that's where David got the heart of faith. He needed the word of God. And where did he get it? Well, it was on a hillside, right, while caring for the sheep. He was alone with God, the Bible tells us. And how can I prove that to you? Well, let's see what the book of Psalms tells us. Look at what it says in Psalms 119:92. This is David. Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. Unless what? Your law. Unless your words, Lord, had been my delight. If I would not have that, Lord, guess what? I wouldn't have that heart of faith to be able to defeat this giant. And then Psalms 119:97 and 98 says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. So in other words, my brothers and sisters, David had a heart full of faith because he delighted in the word of God. He delighted in God's law. He delighted in his commandment. And he says that he had it every day. Every day he was delighting in the word of God, spending time with the Lord. And that was what made him wiser than even his enemies, wiser than even those giants. The same the word of God could do for us, my brothers and sisters. If you spend time with the word of God, if you spend time in prayer, if you read and you keep those commandments every day, guess what? You'll be wiser. You know, sometimes you don't even have to confront, you know, those kind of giants. Sometimes the only thing that you have to do is to invoke the name of the Lord through his words. And guess what? Those giants will be dispersed. Those giants will be defeated. Those giants will run away. Those giants will fade away by you proclaiming the word of God, proclaiming those promises. That's exactly what David did. So he picked the first stone. That was what? A heart full of faith. And the second one was what? The word of God. So what do you think was the third one? Well, the third stone was the Spirit of God. How many of you have the Spirit of God? How many of you had even called upon the Lord to give you the Spirit that you need? See, the Bible tells us that the Spirit of the Lord come upon David. 1 Samuel chapter 16:13, it says, then Samuel took the horn. Samuel actually took the horn of oil and anointed him who? David, right? In the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from the day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. So David, my brothers and sister, my beloved David actually had the Spirit of who? The Spirit of the Lord. Without actually that anointing of and the power of the Holy Spirit, we will settle for a substitute. I'll probably say it. We will accept bodies rather than souls. We will probably accept activities rather than spirituality. Without God's Spirit, man is helpless in his own strength. Without that power of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters, we are helpless. We will fear. We will be defeated. So David was empowered by the Spirit of God. The Bible says in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Not by might nor by power, but by but my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. See, the flesh or human power is no match for those Goliaths, is no match for those giants that we have to confront in our lives. Christianity has become more occupied with the strategy of the Philistines, fleshed, than with the power of God. We are more occupied with the things of this life than the things of our future life, and even with the things of eternity. We spend a lot of more time doing other things that defies us, that takes away for what is more important. We are more occupied with the things that this world has to offer. In other words, we are actually more involved with pleasures that this world has to offer, like politics, sports, money, materials, than with things that God has to offer to us. See, our thoughts seems to be more of the fact that our giant out there. In other words, we concentrate more on those things and we forget that those are giants that we need to defeat. It seems we spend more time studying, you know, like the weapons of these enemies and trying to duplicate it rather than studying the secret of David's sling and the stones. We put all these other weapons, all these other shields, thinking that it is by our own strength that we could, you know, be able to defeat the giants, and we don't look upon those weapons that we are offered by the Lord to be able to defeat our enemies. My brothers and sisters, this battle, this war will not be won by the flesh. And we have to be clear about that. We have to be certain about that. And we have to accept that. We cannot defeat our enemies with our own strength. We must be filled with the Spirit of God and trust in it to get the job done. So the first thing that we need to be able to defeat our enemies, those giants that we confront in our daily routines, is what? The first stone, a heart full of faith. The second one, the word of God. And the third stone is what? The Spirit of God. And now we come to the fourth stone. Which one do you think that is? The fourth stone is what? Courage. See, 1 Samuel 17, verse 32 to 37 tells us, then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth and he a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lions and bear, and this incircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he had defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the power of the lion and from the power of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. So where do you think David found courage to face this giant, to face Goliath? It was through his past experiences, my brothers and sisters. This is very important in the success that you want to accomplish in life. See, David had proven the power of God in his life. some of you, or even myself, have won great victories in the past, but today you stand out. You stand on the brink of defeat. David knew that victory could be won. He was not fearful of the armor, weapons, or even the size of this giant. He had faced giant enemies before, the bear and the lion, as we read. See, when Jesus faced Satan on the cross of Calvary, it wasn't the first time that he has been face to face with the devil. He had already defeated him before in the wilderness of temptation. Now think back to the great event in your life. Think back, maybe, in that moment when God had already worked on your behalf. And if God had already worked on your behalf and you have been able to defeat giants in the past, God can do it again. Amen. God can do it again for you. So having that courage, my brothers and sisters, is knowing that God has been there in the past for you, that you had defeated those giants. And that's where you need to get the courage to be able to defeat whatever giant comes along in the present and even in the future. See, the Bible tells us, right, that the devil is a roaring what? A roaring lion, right? 1 Peter chapter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking who he might what? Devour. That's exactly what our enemy is doing and is acting like against us. But we know for a fact in the Word of God that Jesus defeated on the cross. He defeated Satan. He defeated his enemy. He defeated our enemy. And the reason David was so sure of victory was that he had gone to the well of divine strength before and have proven that it was sufficient. You and I could do the same, my brothers and sisters. You and I could go back to the well of divine strength that comes from the Lord, from the Almighty, to be able to defeat our enemies. And that's where our courage comes from. So far, what are the stones that we have studied so far that we need to defeat our giants? A heart full of what? Faith, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and courage, which is remembering what God has done in the past for you. He has delivered our enemies. But one last thing that we need to be able to fully and completely defeat our giants, and that is a great vision. I'll put it this way. We must not be satisfied with what God has done in the past. We must continue on attempting great things for God. How many of you say amen to that? We must continue. It's not about just sitting back and relax because God has delivered us from our enemies. No, we have to have a great vision. You could finish the stories of David and Goliath. What happened after that? You could continue reading it. Great things happened because they had great vision. God could give you the great vision as well, my brothers and sisters, for you not to be fearful. Look at what Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3 says. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. How many of you say amen to that? How many of you have claimed that in the word of the Lord? Calling unto God so that you could do great and mighty things for the Lord. And if you read all the prophets, if you read all the disciples, they did great things. Why? Because they had a heart full of what? Of faith. Because they not only read and practiced the commandments, they act upon it. because they also were empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit. And they found that courage on how God has delivered them from their enemies. And they did wonders. They did great things. The Bible even tells us that even the shadow of Peter, what the shadow of Peter did, healed. Yes or no? Philip, you know, he cast out demons. He healed. He did wonders, miracles, and things like that. But was it him? Was it his strength? Was it his power? No, it was not. It was the strength. Because all of them decided, my brothers and sisters, to go. To go to the source. The source where all things come from. God. So if you want to be able to defeat your giants, and I don't know what your giant might be. I don't know what your giant might look like at this moment. The only limitations at a great vision is how big of a vision we will believe God for. It is time, my brothers and sisters, for you and I to believe in God, that He can make things happen for us. You fear that your stress might lead to depression. Well, guess what? Find a heart full of faith. Go to the source where you could find that, you know, that faith that you need. You find it where? In the Word of God. In all those promises. In those commandments. But you also need to request. You need to ask. With all your heart, with all your might, you need to ask for the Spirit of the Lord. It is the Spirit of the Lord that will give you the strength that you need, because you need that courage to be able to defeat your giants. You need to remember what God has done for you in the past, what God has done for you yesterday, what God has done for you this morning. The miracle that God has performed in your life, and He does it every day, every time we wake up, every time we open our eyes, that's a miracle. We had defeated our giant every morning. That we need to remember, my brothers and sisters. If you had breakfast this morning, well, guess what? That was given from whom? From the Lord. God has delivered you from hunger. And God has given you that so that you could have the strength to be able to accomplish your vision. And I just hope, my brothers and sisters, that your vision is what God puts in your heart, and that you do it. I hope that your great vision is the purpose of why God have you in this world. The purpose for you to go and preach the gospel, for you to go and not to be fearful, for you to go and to share all those things that God has done for you, all those things that God has delivered you from. That is a great vision. Why? Because that's the only way that you and I will be able to stand firmly and to be able to defeat all those giants that the enemy will throw on us. So I don't know what your giant is. I don't know if your giant is fear. I don't know if your giant is stressed. I don't know if you're going through a crisis, sickness, discouraged. I don't even know if you're thinking that you're not even going to make it for tomorrow. I don't know. You know. But mostly, God knows. So it's about time that you and I, my brothers and sisters, find the heart of faith. It's about time that we spend time in the Word of God. It's about time that we claim that promise of the Holy Spirit to give us that courage. It's about time that we go and fulfill the great vision, that great commission. My question to you again is, Can you defeat your giant? Can you defeat that giant that you're facing at this very moment? I end with this, Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? I'll probably change that. All right. What then shall we say to these giants? If God is for us, who can be against us? How many of you say hallelujah? Amen.
Amen.
Next time, my brothers and sisters, that you're facing those giants, just claim the promise. If God is for us, if God is for me, who can be against me?
Amen.
May God bless you. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your truth words. Thank you for your commandment. Thank you, Father, for your deliverance. Thank you, Lord, because you are there with us. We claim, Father, we claim those five stones that we just learned this morning, Father. We claim the stone of having a heart full of faith. We claim the stone of having the word of God. Of having that spirit of God. Of having the courage that comes from the Lord. But mostly, Father, to have that great vision to continue fighting. Because you have great things.
Amen.
We claim the beautiful promise. If God is for us, who can be against us? In Jesus' most precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father.